At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Chris M. from the Cape Atlantic area of New Jersey, and his topic is staying alive in recovery.
Cover that name, Chris. Truly grateful to be here and still have the willingness to come and participate in this thing called recovery here in Narcotics Anonymous. And thank you, Joanna, for, you know, setting the stage and setting the tone for recovery. I've had the privilege to know Joanna and hear her share a few different times and, you know, be a part of her recovery and go to Philadelphia and, you know, and experience recovery there. And so I just want to say to the newcomer, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. You never, ever, 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 ever have to use drugs again. Now, you might use a few other things, but you don't have to use no drugs. And I want to thank my friend Jay, who came down with me. You know, we left this morning at 8 o'clock. I'm from the Cape Atlantic area, Narcotics Anonymous. My home group is Wednesday night in Hamilton, First Step Focus. If you're ever in Hamilton, come on out. I'll welcome you with a hug and a cup of coffee. I am the coffee maker. So it is good coffee. And so we drove down in my 68 DeVille with the top dropped and Biggie bumping. And, you know, it was nice. It was nice. We had some breakfast and it was good. And, you know, I just want to say I'm grateful for sponsorship and the program in Narcotics Anonymous. Coming here, being able to share with you guys the greatest miracle of my life, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. You're not going to hear from me like, I'm tired of going to meetings. I'm bored. This stinks. I don't feel like I'm being punished. Going to meetings is not a chore for me. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I was a bum before I came here and thought I had it all together. You know. But, so I'm grateful for a lot of different things, and I just, you know, I touched on sponsorship a little bit, but, like, to have the ability to allow myself the greatest privilege of allowing someone else to help me. And in this process, I've had a few sponsors. I had a sponsor for 7.5 years, and we work 12 steps, and like Joanna said, we write, we go over it, we keep it moving. And, you know, I'm a big advocate of our literature. The beginning of the basic text says about addicts, by addicts, for addicts. I don't know why you get a bullseye on your back if you carry your books. You know, if you read from the literature, there he goes again, he's going to quote the book. You know, but if a crack pipe came with instructions, you'd be like this. If the cooker came with a manual, or listen. You know what I mean? So, you know. And then I had another sponsor after that relationship grew. We just grew separately. We didn't go apart. We grew separately. Right? And he fed my spirit. And the truth of the matter is, he changed the condition of my heart. Right? So I came here with a lot of misinformation, you know. So, and then the second sponsor I had picked up after 8 years clean. He made a conscious decision to keep secrets. Secrets keep, you know, that's in the book. I didn't make it up, you know. So, and I've been blessed and honored to have the handsome guy that was reading the clarity statement, Barry G., my sponsor today. And I love him to death, man. He's allowed me some wonderful direction in my life so far. And we've been together about 4 years or so. And my life is great. You know, so my topic is staying alive in recovery. And I'm a literature dude, right? As you can tell. If you're here, you're new, and you hear some stuff that sounds like sloganese and you don't know what it means, just keep coming back. You'll catch on, you know. But just had a brain fart. I was going somewhere with that. Where was I? Help me out. Yeah. So anyway, if you hear, but the topic, staying alive in recovery. So I did some homework and it's not in there. Right? And, but I do have my life experience, right? And I got one responsibility up here. First and foremost, to be myself and to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. And what is up? There's the message and our message. The message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And our message is hope and the promise of freedom. Right? So, when all's said and done, that's all we have to give. Right? So I want to touch on something for the newcomer. It's in the 12th step, and it works out why. And then we're going to get right into staying alive in recovery. Now we must ask ourselves, just what is the message we're trying to carry? Is it that we never have to use drugs again? Is it that through recovery we cease being likely candidates for jails, institutions, and an early death? Is it the hope that an addict, any addict, can recover from the disease of addiction? Well, it's all of this and more. The message we carry is that by practicing the principles contained within the 12 steps, we've had a spiritual awakening. Whatever that means for each one of us is the message we carry to those seeking recovery. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and I have a short little segue. It's just for identification purposes. Because you might be sitting back there thinking, well, he looks great. I don't even think he used. Right? Because, listen, this is the only place you can go where the longer you stay here, right, the older you get, the better you look. Well, look at my sponsor. You know? So, I spent 18 years in active addiction, 15 years on paper, 7.5 years in the New Jersey State Prison System, 22 arrests and 3 felony convictions, all behind one more. Just one more. You know, and I'd like to tell you that, you know, I was a baller and a shot caller, but my life as a crime boss was short-lived. Very short-lived. It was $5 at the end of my road. I started out like Nino Brown and ended up like Pookie every time. I was Donald Trump to Donald Duck. Just like that. There was no packages, or ounces, or bundles, or pounds. I wasn't flying to frickin' Cuba and bringing it back by the plane load. None of that shit was happening for me. I used to dream about that shit. I'll tell you that's what happened, but that didn't happen. You'd be lucky if we split one. And if you was fucking with me at the end of the road and you was slow, you got a water shot. That's how it was going down. There was no honesty amongst addicts. We were honest, open-minded, or willing. I wasn't sharing shit either. And I came here and heard people talking about a wake-up. I was like, what the fuck's a wake-up? I never had a wake-up. I used it all. Every last bit of it. And not worry about that when I come to. If God sees fit to allow me another day. I was in the moment addict. My ass was always on fire. Somebody was chasing me around with a cup for 15 years. I was the guy that, this is the insanity of my active addiction. Still talking about staying alive in recovery. I'll give you a staying alive in active addiction, right? I would be on paper. I would use Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Monday morning, I would know I had to go to parole and take a urine. An addict man would say, well, maybe it'll come up clean. Who knows? Maybe they'll lose it. Maybe they'll be closed. On Monday. They're never closed on Monday. And I would bring the cat's urine, the dog's urine, the neighbor's urine, the baby's urine, the niece's urine, the nephew's urine, with the tape and the wrap and the bleach and the bottle and the this and none of that shit worked. I did all that and always got a dirty urine. And then I would hear people sharing about how they used to beat the urines. I was 5 years clean before I finally asked them, how did you beat the urines, man? You know what I mean? Because that never worked for me. I had a burn. I had to go to the hospital. It was a nightmare, man. On top of using, you know. So May 5th, 2001, we got 4,725 days clean in recovery here in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm 22 days shy of 13 years clean, right? And I'm telling you, this is not an arrogant statement. I don't mean to offend anybody, but I'm here to... I will celebrate 13 years clean. Only because the literature tells me we've never seen an addict who lives this program relapse. I'm not going to buy into the idea that, well, maybe if God's willing. I got news for you. God's always willing. Willingness is endowed in my condition. Right? That's my responsibility. And I got news for you. Going to meetings, getting a home group, and getting a sponsor, it's not willingness. That's compliance. That's what we're supposed to do. The literature defines willingness as doing the things we don't like doing. Right? So we do all those things and God makes a change. And my life went from good to great to real great. And it was just awesome. And, you know, it keeps getting better. And, you know, I go through life's up and downs and life just shows up and it's not a big deal, man. I stay clean and Joanna alluded to the no matter what thing and no matter what, we don't use. You know, I bought into Narcotics Anonymous, lock, stock, and barrel. 1989, I was in an institution. H&I came in and they carried the message of Narcotics Anonymous. And everything I needed to know about how to stay clean and recover from the disease of addiction, I learned at my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And I had 8 suggestions on the front of the meeting list. And I chose not to stay. I chose not to participate in any of that stuff. You know, so I kept coming in and out and in and out for a lot of years. You know, and continued to make a mess of my life. And when I got here, I was 31 years old. I had donuts. Zero. All scorecards were zero. I had no high school diploma, no formal real education of any kind. You know, when I turned 18... as a result of a horrible accident with my mother. I watched my mother drown, saving my little brother when I was 9 years old. And I used that to extract a commitment from a lot of women in my active addiction. And I used to run around to meetings talking about the nuns beat me at my school. My mom died. My stepmom beat me. I got women issues. Love me. Right? You know? And I would throw the whole pity party thing out there. You know, and I did that, and I used a lot of stuff for the wrong reasons, you know. And so I had nothing when I came here. And I got $18,000 when my mom died, and I thought it was like the greatest idea to buy a bunch of weed and go fishing. It's like, what a fishing trip that turned out to be, you know. I didn't get clean until I was 31, and in January I just turned 44. And, So I didn't have nothing, man. I need to share with you guys. You got 12 steps and Narcotics Anonymous. I went back to school, got a high school diploma, got a driver's license, started a business in this process. And with 2.5 years clean, filled out an application, worked in a treatment facility for 8 years, did that thing, did this thing, stayed clean, started a business. Today I have a business, a couple trucks, some guys. You know, my life is great. You know, I was the guy in Narcotics and staying alive in recovery. Because I'll kill myself. I don't know about you. I'll kill myself. Right? Clean. I'll kill myself. You know? With this, some of the shit that I do. You know what I mean? Like the new guy, the guy that's working in treatment, 5 years clean, driving around in a Cadillac, big baller, going and sharing all these places, living dirty, sharing clean. You know, always got a backup for a backup. Maybe I'm alone with that one. You know, in case she escapes, there's one waiting. You know, I don't know. You know, and disguising it with, I'm helping her. Because only I could do that. Maybe I'm alone. You know. And then I hear my friends saying things like, man, you shouldn't be messing with her. She's got like a moment of silence clean. And I'll be like, listen, I'll be like, here's the sickest part. Well, she's a volunteer. Well, she's a volunteer because it's a program of attraction. And of course, they're attracted to me. Right? Meanwhile, you know, I'm killing addicts. Right? Somebody stepped up to me and said, how many dead newcomers are you going to step over before you get to where you think you need to be? Right? Like that shit was cool. You know? Running around doing all this crazy stuff in the rooms. Then I can't, now my life shows up. Right? And the job, lost the job because of that behavior. Right? And then can't show up in the meeting because all three of them were in the meeting. Now I can't free myself. It's your good sharing hands. I'm just telling you my story. I'm just sharing with you guys what happened for me. And what it was like for me to try to stay alive in recovery. Because I was killing myself clean. Clean. And a lot of stuff took place. And I wanted to be who I said I was. You know? And the six-step talks about, you know, we humble ourselves so we be humiliated. You know, and you know, sometimes God has to take some things, allow for other things to germinate. You know? And what happened for me was I had went somewhere with a sponsee, and the speaker didn't show up, and my sponsee said, well, why don't you get my sponsor to share? And the girl that was at the meeting looked over and said, who's your sponsor? And he said, oh, Chris M. And she said, oh no, sweetie, he's not living right. 6 years clean, God, working in treatment, saving. I was like the N.A. Jesus in my area, you know? And now, I thought I was invisible. I thought nobody knew what I was doing. I don't know, maybe I'm alone. Because I thought I was invisible in my active addiction too. I'd be on the corner, be like, yo, let me get 2 for $10. He'd be like, yo, the cops are right there. I'd be like, no, they can't see me. I did that shit here. I did that here. For years. And then something happened for me. You know, I needed to make a change in my life. So it says the deeper we wade in, the richer the reward. Right? So, and I believe that. And I wanted to be a one-woman man. And I wanted to be that person. So, some things started to change in my life. And I made a conscious decision through sponsorship and to be by myself for a little while. And a lot of times in Narcotics Anonymous and in life in general, when we're looking for something, we're always going to find the wrong thing. I was looking for a healthy thing in a sick place. I don't know. And so all of a sudden, she found me, right? My wife, I'm a married man today. I'm husband material, right? I'll behave like I'm single when my wife's not around. Ask the people that roll with me. They'll tell you, my head's not on a swivel. I don't got no secret shit on my phone. Ain't no James Bond 007 shit going on. You know, my life is an open book. There's no place in my life we can't put light on. Right here at this podium. And that's the freedom. That's the freedom. I got some financial stuff. I spend a little too much money now and again. You know what I mean? I might buy some shit that I shouldn't buy. I'll tell you. Sitting in the parking lot. You know. But I'm talking about that's going to cause harm to someone else. You know. So my wife came like fully assembled. I didn't even have to fix her. She wasn't broke. She had her own shit going on. God, steps, home group, and all that, you know. And, you know, we had the blessings to be able to gift, to be able to do some different things. And, you know, I'll tell you, a lot of the reason why is because my wife was able to say no. You know what I mean? She was like, no, I'm not staying over. You know what I mean? I was like, what do you mean you're not staying over? It's a long drive home. You know, wouldn't you be more comfortable here? You know, I'll give you some pajamas. You know, we can get up and have breakfast. Right? It's the game, right? And listen, so you're going to hear somebody say, well, no, it's not like that. We're just friends. It's just like that. You know? So me and my wife fell in love and we did something different. We dated and she commuted to my house for a year before she stayed. We did some other things in that relationship to nurture that relationship so it would be healthy. And we made some conscious decisions through the help of sponsorship, her sponsor, my sponsor at the time. And some other things took place and we got married and we had a beautiful... How much you got to keep me on track because I will roll. Okay, I'm good. So, life is good. I'm a married 12-step member of Narcotics Anonymous, have a house, a business, and I'm doing some things because, you know, our literature talks about we go back into the community and we give back what we took for all those years. You know, so where I come from, in the town I grew up in, there was a police chief in the town I grew up in that, when I was growing up as a kid, was a sergeant in the police department, and he used to chase me around the neighborhood for years, man. And when I turned like 18, 19 years old, he was a detective, and he investigated me and cased me up and testified against me and sent me to prison. And he was good friends with my mom before my mom died. And he basically cried when I went to prison. And this was and then he ended up becoming the chief of police. And long and short, my jailhouse career continued to grow, and so did his law enforcement career. And he did two turns at the police chief, and 2 years ago I get a phone call, and it's him, and he said it's Jay. And I said, hey, how you doing? And he said, you know who this is? And I said, yeah, I know who this is. And he said, but listen, I've been looking for you because I've heard what you're doing. And he was in tears, and he said, my son is 2 weeks away from a pro draft at North Carolina State, and he's hooked on heroin. Can you help him? And I was like, let's meet, we can do it. You know, make some phone calls, open some doors, some people. Because this is what happens in Narcotics Anonymous. You might meet somebody, and they have the power to put you in touch with people you may have never thought you'd have the power to connect with. And then those people will put you in touch with other people that you have no power to connect with. And so on and so on and so on. And this man's opened doors for me in the community. And I'm just no shout out. I'm just telling you what I'm doing. I've formed something in my community to give back to the community in my area, and that's kind of what's taking place today. And it's a wonderful, wonderful project. See me later outside the meeting after the meeting. I'll let you know what it's about. But so staying alive in recovery. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. I worked in treatment for a long time. And I was able to get tested for communicable diseases, HIV, hepatitis, all this other stuff. And I got tested and tested and tested and kept coming up negative, 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 negative. And I thought I got away. And went 10 years clean, I got a whole bunch of tattoos. Right? And 6 months later, I started having problems. Right? And my stomach's swollen and I'm tired and all kind of crazy shit's going. And now my wife works as an occupational therapist for the criminally insane at a psychiatric hospital. So like I'm in there, man. You know what I mean? If I need some help, I can just ask my wife, you know? Because I'm a nut, you know? And so she kept, we have benefits. I got great benefits. And she's like, go to the hospital, go to the doctors, go to the doctors. And I'm like, I'm okay, I'm okay. She's like, go to the doctors. I said, I'm all right, I'm all right. So one day I'm driving in my truck and I call her and I'm like, I'm still having these kidney pains and stomach pains. And she's like, don't go to the doctor, and hangs up the phone. So I was like, I'm going to the doctor. You know what I mean? So I spin off and go to the doctors. And they come, I take some tests and they come back and I tested positive for hepatitis C clean with 10 years from tattoos. Right? Yeah. And I was like, my viral load was like way off the charts, and I was like next to shutting down in like 9 months. I must have had it for about a year or so and didn't know it. And then I got mad and resentful because I'm the guy that was sitting in a bucket in the middle of the woods with a set of works, gimmicks that were busted down, broken, rusty, bent, cut off, no numbers, dirty cotton, dirty cooker, and telling the dude next to me, he's like, what's the cotton for? I'm like, oh, that's to get the impurities out. Right? I'm shooting freaking tools there, Will. So now I'm mad, I'm resentful. I thought I got away. 10 years clean, hepatitis. And it was like, there was no decision on do I wait to get treatment. Staying alive in recovery. Right? And God might have to put you through something to stretch you to bring you someplace else. Right? So I'm going to tell you what happened. I started taking the interferon, right, and all this other medication. And I started having side effects from the medication. And then I was going over here getting shots of this. And then going to this doctor getting shots of that. And I had a stomach doctor. I had a liver doctor. I had a heart doctor. And I was taking all these side effects. And I felt like shit. Now, I don't know about anybody else what your experience is. I'm sharing my experience with you. I was very upset. I was very emotional. I was like sick. And I couldn't do nothing. And I wanted to hurt myself clean from that medication. But because of Narcotics Anonymous and the preparation that took place in my recovery, I was able to reach out to some people. Barry put me in touch with some people. I had people ringing my phone, sending me shit, sending me stuff on the website, sending me food, things I could eat and water I could take and this and that, when to do this, and all this stuff kept coming in and filling all these solutions to help me recover from this stuff kept coming in and coming in. And I'm still feeling bad. So I go back to the doctors with some serious heart pain. And it turns out that because of the medication that I had taken, it metastasized to my heart. And now I have to take heart medication every day for the rest of my life. Staying alive in recovery. I'm vigilant with that. Now, my wife is on some other diet shit. She's got me eating dehydrated turtle shells and mahonhydrated shit. I'm talking, I can't eat a freaking candy bar in the house. You know what I mean? She's like, that's not good for you. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, you know? But she loves me and she wants me to be around and all that stuff. But I'm talking just about how I'm instantly rebellious on anything that's good for me. Immediately. Because if it's not my idea, hey, listen, I won't let you take credit for it. That's for sure. So, I need to tell you that was a year and a half ago. I've been tested a bunch of times. Afterwards, my blood work is, I'm still undetectable in recovery. Hepatitis, I'm undetectable. You know. So I continue to take the heart medication, and I continue to show up. I continue to share about whatever's affecting my recovery. You know, and not just that, but the solution as well. Right? And we're talking about staying alive in recovery, and you know, I just had the blessing to go on vacation. Then my sponsor just bought a house in Florida, and I went on vacation. And even the word vacation is like foreign. It's like vacation. I mean, my active addiction, we was no vacations. You better be bringing Flocko over to clinic. We ain't going nowhere. You know what I mean? So, I go on vacation to Florida, and me and my wife went, and we had a great time. And, you know, I'm talking a little over 13 years clean, or 12 years clean, and sponsorship, home group. We're filled up. We're on vacation. We get on a plane to go come back to Jersey, and I'm sitting on the window, and then my wife, and then there's this dude that's sitting on the end. And he's this big, tall dude from Texas, and he had this big Texas hat on, and he had some cowboy boots on, and he had the tight-ass jeans, and not the skinny jeans that they wear now. He had, like, some cowboy shit on. You know what I mean? And Terry, I love you. And I was like, man, this dude's, like, serious about some cowboy shit, you know? So he sits down, and the lady comes through with the cart, and she's like, would you like something to drink? And I'm like, no, I'm okay. My wife's like, no, I'm okay. He said, give me 3 Crown Royal and a Coke. And I was like, Crown Royal? And I'm trying to stay in my lane, because God's like, stay in your lane. You know what I mean? And he's got the back of the seat down. He was ready before the cart even got there. He was like, prepared for these 3 Crown Royal. So Now I want to buy a fucking hat, put some boots on. I want to go to Texas and drink Crown Royal. I don't know about you. I'm trying to stay in my lane, and then he gets the three Crown Royal. All three of them. Not one, not two, but three. And I'm thinking to myself, this dude's like a real addict, you know? And I'm like, so then he's mixing it. I'm watching him do it. I'm trying to stay in my lane, but my eye just, it's just going there. You know, and listen, and I need to tell you that, alcohol is a thing for me. I mean, it wasn't my thing at the end, but I know me. I'll have one, and the second one I'll be stirring with a new set of works. So I know where that takes me. But I need to tell you, the honesty is, that shit stayed with me till I hit the ground, three Crown Royals and a Coke. I'm in the airport, my wife's talking to me about some shit. Three Crown Royals and a Coke. I get home, I go to bed, I'm sleeping in bed with my wife. I wake up, she says, good morning, three Crown Royals and a Coke. You're like, fucking Crown Royal. So I do what I do. I pray, I read the meditation, I do what I do in the morning. I treat my disease with prayer immediately. And I'm like, take my will in my life, guide me in my recovery, show me how to live, three Crown Royals and a Coke. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I do what I know how to do. I went to my home group and I shared about it. Then, when the obsession left, I went back to my home group and told them that it was gone. And I'm still clean. So if you're new to Narcotics Anonymous, get a guide, work 12 steps, and your life will be beyond your wildest dreams. You know? And if nobody told you that they love you today, better luck tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. If nobody told you that they love you, you got the wrong people in your life. Get a guide, work 12 steps, and it won't matter. My name's Chris.